Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, September 13th. Colorado's annual legislative session may be in recess, but interim committees are still meeting and wrapping up their work. One group studied county prison overcrowding and the cost of housing inmates. Bensa Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Democratic Representative Daphne Michelson-Janay says one major concern is the state isn't properly compensating every county for the true cost.
The number that we come up with is relatively arbitrary.
She also notes that some people spend a lot more time behind bars than necessary, just waiting to even get a bail hearing.
Because it's hard to get justices out to some of the rural areas.
She suggests creating something similar to telemedicine, but for judges, to be able to do some hearings remotely. The bipartisan committee is discussing multiple ideas before proposing legislation. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
A Denver nonprofit has made it possible for small rural communities to offer their residents video coverage of civic meetings free of charge. Roz Brown filed this story.
Open Source Media has developed a new software being adopted by municipal governments that archives video of city meetings that residents can watch at home. Many rural communities either no longer have a cable provider that will host their civic meetings, or it costs too much. Open Media Foundation Executive Director Tony Shawcross says more than a dozen states and local governments are using the free or low-cost software that was first adopted by the Colorado House and Senate.
Faith in government and trust in government is dropping, and if a government is interested in providing a higher level of transparency, we saw it as a big opportunity to help governments meet voters where they're at and really lower the bar for civic engagements.
Shawcross says Platteville, a small town north of Denver with a population of 2,600, was the first community to download and install the free software by themselves. Platteville Town Administrator Mary Lee says without the free software, the town couldn't provide television coverage of city meetings.
We have a lot of elderly folks here who like to know what's going on, but don't like to get out at night to go to meetings. And I can't imagine a small town out there that wouldn't benefit.
The cost for the software is tied to the population and free for communities of 5,000 or less. According to Shawcross, the open software has allowed some communities, such as Platteville, to double or triple their community engagement.
It's a good success story because it just shows that a government that has this interest, you know, we can help make sure that they can make it happen, you know, regardless of their budget.
The Open Media Foundation is now working on a project to integrate the software with Open States, an organization that compiles voter data. This is Roz Brown reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Dan Boyce from Inside Energy filed a report from Uravan, a western Colorado town that used to be a hotspot for uranium mining. While the town itself might be gone, the history of the community lives on in the people who still live in the area.
It's after hours in the dark main room of the Rimrocker Historical Society.
This is a Geiger counter.
Jane Thompson is showing off what put this part of Colorado on the map. It's clicking because of this radioactive yellow rock in an antique jar close by.
Carnotite ore is what they milled here.
Move the jar closer, and that clicking picks up.
It's got uranium, vanadium, and radium in it.
Thompson is president of the Historical Society, and she also helps spearhead an annual picnic some 15 minutes up the road, a reunion picnic at the site of her hometown.
Hello, Uravan!
A few dozen people have gathered under trees and canopies in an otherwise hot, empty field on this late August day.
The things that happened here were very important.
Uravan, a tiny mining company town, provided uranium for nuclear weapons developed during the Manhattan Project.
And even though the town is gone, we feel like that history of those people need to be kept.
Uravan, that little town where Thompson grew up, it is gone. Not just the mill, where those yellow rocks were processed into so-called yellow cake uranium ore.
Everything is gone.
Literally.
Every house, every tree.
The swimming pool, the rec center.
Everything was dug up, shredded, and buried in a big hole on top of the hill.
Decades and decades of mining left Uravan contaminated with radioactive chemicals and heavy metals. The EPA declared it a Superfund site in the 80s and ordered the mining company to start clearing away the entire town. You'd never know this picnic area was once a community of about 1,000 people. Today you just see the bottom of a crumbling sandstone river valley.
I didn't know it was dangerous. I didn't know it'd hurt you.
91-year-old Larry Cooper sits in a camping chair, wearing suspenders and breathing with the help of an oxygen tank. He worked in the mills and mines around Uravan starting in the 50s, and his health suffered.
I got cancer. I lost half of my lung on the right side.
Registered nurse Joanna Godwin says it's very common for former Uravan workers. She's here with a nonprofit called Nuclear Care Partners. They provide free health care through the Department of Labor for medical issues that can be traced back to the mining of radioactive materials.
We've had people with skin cancers. Pulmonary things are very prevalent. You know, it's a whole array of things.
After 2 decades of cleanup, the EPA declared the remediation of Uravan wrapped up in 2008. But this empty field that used to be a town was never taken off the list. Why? Because the agency says it needs further investigation and study before giving it a clean bill of health. Colorado's Department of Public Health recently submitted comments to the EPA saying the agency's continued work in Uravan is duplicative, costly, and causing delay. It seems to be the kind of thing Administrator Pruitt is looking to streamline. Still, Jane Thompson doesn't hold out any hope the Uravan site will ever totally be out of the hands of the federal government.
Well, I think it will remain forever.
But she wants to keep having these annual reunion picnics, where the real star of the show is the dessert.
I want you all to make sure you get over here and get a picture of yourself with the yellow cake.
An actual yellow cake with yellow frosting and black radioactive signs on top. Uravan residents may have lost their town, but not their sense of humor. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
And in an update to an ongoing story, the 5 suspects in the death of 2 girls outside of Norwood had their first court appearance yesterday. According to Kara Pallone of Telluride radio station KOTO, an advisement hearing was held via conference call with the 5 suspects. Bonds were set at various amounts, ranging from $125,000 to $500,000. New details surfaced, including the fact that there were 2 other young children living on the property. Those 2 children are now in state custody. The suspects, with the exception of Frederick Blair of Norwood, have been traveling together for up to 3 years. Their next court date is October 3rd. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.